Hello and welcome to Season 5 of the MRX Lab podcast, the show from Fletsamar, where this year we're on a mission to uncover the many ways market research shapes the world around us and learn how to navigate a fast-changing commercial landscape. I'm really excited to be joined for our first episode of the year by Deborah Wormsley, a customer insight consultant who has held senior positions at British Airways, Saga, and Halfords, among other UK brands, and now works with the Insight Management Academy to support the transformation of research teams. Deborah, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to see you.
Nice to have you here. Before we jump into today's topic, could you share a little more about what you do as a customer insight consultant and your journey through the industry?
Okay, so yeah, at the moment I split my time between my role at the IMA, the Insight Management Academy, and doing a consultancy role. And the two really mirror each other, to be honest, because the IMA's aim is to inspire and support insight leaders to transform the impact of insight in their organizations. So I'm helping our members in an advisory capacity to do that. And as a consultant, and also formerly my roles as kind of head of insight in various organizations, which some of which you've mentioned, that's what I was kind of like aiming to do. And that's what I aim to do within the companies that I work in. So my role really is about transforming insight. And the way that insight is used within organizations. I'm currently working for Virgin Atlantic, and I'm working on a couple of really big projects with them, which are going to be quite transformative for them. So I'm either working on projects or I'm working more with the whole team and how that team is sort of developed to better inform the business in terms of the insight within the business. In terms of my route through the industry, so I guess like a lot of people in research, I started working in agencies and you kind of learn your craft, you learn your technical skills, and then moving client side, it's more about sort of building all of the, you know, the business skills that you build when you work in a client organization. I worked, you know, with teams of various sizes from like 6 people to 40 people. And a real mix of different sectors as well, from, retail and travel to utilities and insurance. So lots of different sectors. But I think one of the things that I feel that the principles really remain the same. So even though I've worked in lots of companies, I've sort of taken a lot of those, you know, principles about approaches and how to manage teams and how to kind of like get the best out of insight. I've taken that with me and on that journey.
And hopefully that's something we can dig into a little bit today and pass on to our listeners. So I guess to start off the discussion, thinking about maybe building a new research team, I know you mentioned you've worked with teams of different sizes. Mm-hmm. What's your experience of kind of growing a research team?
Yeah, so I think in a lot of the companies that I've gone into, and I think it's probably always been in my mindset when I've joined a company, like where are they on their transformation journey? Like how much do they want to really leverage the power of insight? I think I've probably chosen jobs on the back of having those conversations and knowing that I've largely been brought in because the organization does want to change the way that they use insight within the organization. In some companies, there's only been maybe a couple of people and I've had to grow those teams versus sometimes when I've gone in and, you know, there's already been an established team. So I guess you're never probably starting completely from scratch, and particularly at the moment, I've worked in teams that have been quite depleted because through COVID, a lot of teams were reduced in size and they're sort of starting to build that back up again. The start point is often quite different. I think the key thing is that And probably as a good example of this, I'd probably use BA as a good example. It's a while back now, but I think they were in that situation where the team had become quite depleted and they really wanted, they'd got someone in at board level who really had seen the power of insight in the other organisations in which he'd worked and was very passionate about customer and using insight to really drive decision making within the organization. And he had a bit of a vision for that. So I came in on the back of that. And, you know, the start point was really to say, okay, what's the vision for the organization? What's the kind of business strategy, the corporate strategy? How does insight help to support and inform that strategy, and therefore what does the shape of the insight team need to be? And you kind of start the process with that and with your strategy for insight, and the people part of it really kind of fits within that. So the key is to then look and say, well, okay, if this is what insight needs to do within the organization, and this is the vision for insight and the strategy that we need to do to deliver that, Where do people sit within that? So how many people do we need? What kind of capabilities do those people need to have? And if you're going in where there's already people there, you can start to plot them against that capability matrix or that need, and say, okay, well, how many of my existing people kind of like fit into some of these areas, and therefore what are my gaps and what do I need to recruit into to really you know, form this team and kind of like make it a powerful force within the business.
So it sounds like, start with strategy and then figure out what you're working with, what resources you have currently and where your gaps are.
Yes.
Is that the flow?
Yeah.
I find it really interesting. You mentioned also about, in the last few years, a lot of teams being rebuilt post COVID. Are there any commonalities that you've seen in that kind of experience?
Yeah, I do think that businesses go through cycles, and actually the, you know, marketing and insight very often sits within marketing. And what happens is that marketing spend gets reduced and there's a knock-on effect with the insight team, that insight team also often gets reduced. And then there's cycles of then increasing that marketing spend, increasing the investment in insight. And, it's very often that that's the cycle that you see. I mean, obviously, we've been through something which is completely different with COVID. I think that's been a more recent phenomenon. But I think in the past, what I tend to see when I'd go in to organizations is sometimes those depleted teams were on the back of often, you know, a new CEO or someone that had come in and said, you know, we can switch a lot of this off, or we need to make savings to drive the numbers within the business. And marketing's often one of the kind of areas that gets hit first. So I'd say that's a definite trend. And then they go through the kind of, you know, building it back up again. It's a bit of a broader question, actually, about, you know, how you guard against that. It's easy to say but not easy to do. How you really embed yourself within an organization and prove your value, so when cuts do happen, that you protect the team to a degree. But that's probably a different conversation. But you know, that's one of the things which, as insight becomes more transformative within the organization, and the organization starts to value insight more, you increasingly, what you're doing is you're protecting that team against, you know, change in the form of, you know, cuts.
I do think that's really related to one of the questions I wanted to ask you about, which is kind of the business case for research. How do you build that case? And I mean, in a way, it sounds like it's almost not just the business case for research, but it's of research and insight, but also quite important as a defense against those cycles of boom and bust, grow and cut.
I mean, one of the ways, because I guess, you know, just going through those scenarios of when I've joined organizations, and that's often a question, is like, well, you know, what do we need to do? And, you know, very often there's been, talking about aligning to the business ambition, there's nearly always, you know, I always have to chuckle when I get a spec for a job, because it 9 times out of 10 it says, you know, we want to put the customer at the heart of, you know, our decision making, or we want to drive more customer centricity within our organization. And but the reality is that a lot of organizations don't really know how to do that. So there are words on a bit of paper, but the reality is they don't know how to do it. And I think that when you come into an organization, and when you're sort of looking at, you know, how do you make the case, it's really about connecting that ambition with the role of insight, and saying, in order to deliver this business ambition, this is what insight needs to do, and this is what insight needs to deliver. And I've used, like, I was just looking back this morning before coming on the call, actually, just to sort of remind myself of like different strategies in the different organizations I've worked in. And I realized that I'd used a Boston Consulting diagram several times in arguing this case. And some of the listeners might be familiar with it, but it basically takes you from, it's like 4 stages of transformative insight. And it basically takes you from, you know, market researchers as order takers, where it's largely tactical work, it's one project at a time. There's just a kind of treadmill of question and answer, through to the other end of the spectrum, which is really driving insight as competitive advantage. And I've often talked about this before, about how aligning, you know, to the commercial goals of the business as well. So part of that ambition, there may be words around, you know, being Virgin Atlantic, want to be the most loved travel company, as a for instance, but actually there's also usually a commercial kind of you know, number which goes with that. And it's about, you know, carving out, you know, more of the market. It's about growth. It's about, you know, being able to deliver competitive advantage. And so insight needs to support the business in doing that. And actually, when you get to the other end of the transformative journey, what you're doing is you're really delivering against that. You're acting as, you know, business partners, business advisors, kind of consultants within the business. The insight almost becomes the way that you then support that. But actually, it's more about business partnering, actually, at that end of the scale. And it's also, I'd say, one of the big differences between the two is that the organizations where the insight teams are at that first stage, they tend to use a lot of hindsight. So I used to, when I started at BA, I used to call it rearview mirror. It's all about looking back. It's like, what's the experience been and all of that. And actually, where you need to get to is much more about predictive behaviors, because that's where the real value comes. So, you know, we know what's happened in the past, but what can we learn from that? And what can we also understand of the future to actually enable the business to be in a better place to take advantage of the things that are on the horizon and things to come, so that they can, you know, be more competitive. So, you know, that's the place that you want, you know, that you need to get to as well. And I think that often gets forgotten. So there's a lot of focus very often on like tracking studies and stuff, which are great, and they have their place. But it's often about looking back at behavior, and what we need to get to is a place where we're looking much more forward. We're using what's happened in the past to be predictive of the future, which enables then companies to be in a much better place in terms of being able to take advantage of things that are to come. And I think the other thing that I would add is that very often when I've joined organizations, they don't have very much in terms of trends, or they're not really using trend frameworks, understanding what's, you know, what are the things that are shaping people's lives, society, how powerful those trends are within the sector or the category that we're working in. And therefore, what we need to take notice of or not. And again, that becomes quite powerful in terms of working with the organization to take advantage of that insight and knowledge.
I mean, there's two really interesting things that strike me as you're talking there. I think the first is, and I love the BCG, order taker to business consultant model. I find that a really helpful framework. I think... I almost wonder if there's a degree of learning to speak the language of your business. I think in research, we're often very, we look at the world through the lens of customers and research, but not of our business, and looking internally and saying, well, how does the business talk? What are the, how are the decisions being made? What metrics are we measuring as an organization? And I think there's a learning process there as you go from order taker to business consultant. Is that something you find as well?
Yeah, I think that's about, I'm sure we'll come on to this, but about the skills that you need within the team, I think, as well, because there's obviously technical skills and insight skills that you're looking for, but I think there's also business skills, and that is about things like commercial acumen. It's about kind of being able to talk the language of the business, because I think that as researchers and insight people, we can often be quite idealistic in terms of, you know, well, this is what the customer says, and therefore why aren't we doing anything about it as a business? And I think you really have to get close to your stakeholders, understand what's keeping them up at night, understand what what are the drivers, what's getting in the way of them taking action, because you have to overcome that. You know, I hear quite frequently when I talk to people, they'll often say things like, oh, we've told them this a dozen times, but you know, nothing ever seems to happen. Well, there must be a reason why things are not happening. Either we're not telling it in a compelling and engaging enough way for people to really understand it, or it's really difficult. Like do we need to chunk it down into easy things for people to action and do? I think that we often kind of miss some of that. It's just, well, we've told them, it's just haven't done anything about it. And I do understand that frustration, but I think you have to keep going back and saying, well, why not? Like, what is it? Can we do something differently? Or can we change the way we position this or break it down for people that makes it easier? There's usually ways around it.
And then I think that kind of brings us to a good point to talk about skills and competencies. You know, when you're looking at building out a team, what are some of those core skills, core competencies that you really want to be looking out for?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I think there's kind of like, I think there's always a danger that we end up where we recruit a lot on technical skills, when in reality, a lot of that can be taught. I think what I often look for is a combination of insight and business skills, depending on, you know, the mix within my team already and what I feel that we need to kind of look for. And insight skills are things around things like just natural curiosity, storytelling capability, ability to kind of critical thinking, those sorts of things. Whereas the business skills are much more around being able to sort of get out there in the business, influence senior stakeholders, the commercial thinking that I was kind of talking about, you know, being a bit more kind of like problem solving, solution based, you know, a bit more able to kind of be flexible around things like that. I think those are the things that you'd be looking for in terms of business skills. So yeah, it is a mix. And I think that some of it is about where you are as an insight team and the people that you need at the time, but also trying to future-proof that a bit. I'd always lean a bit more towards the business skills because I can't remember who said it. I think it might have been David Smith or someone, but said something about you need consultants that do research rather than the other way around. So I've often talked about it in my teams as like, you know, the heads down versus the heads up people. And actually, you know, as you transform your insight function, you need a lot more of the heads up people. You need people that can kind of get out there into the business, build the relationships, and really, rather than being heads down doing the analysis. And another thought that occurred to me actually through all of this, and we've been talking about it at the IMA quite a lot, is how AI is going to disrupt like lots of jobs, like not just in our industry, but across everything. But within insight specifically, there's probably going to be a lot of things that we do now that we don't need to do anymore. And actually, the way that our roles will probably shift is to be more of those people that take out that insight into the business, work with the business to really translate that into actionable, you know, change that needs to be taken. And I think that we'll probably need to be building those skill sets a lot more, actually. So I think if you're recruiting people in now and you're looking to future proof, then I'd definitely be looking for more of that, those heads up people, to be honest.
And then one last question before we close. What would your advice be to anyone embarking on the task of setting up a new insight team or growing that function?
I think it would be exactly what I said earlier, just to kind of refer back to that. But it is about thinking about the corporate and the business strategy. What are the big questions that you need, that the business needs answers to in order to grow as a business? And therefore, what role can insight play, and that will support the growth of the insight team, either, you know, through more people or through the growth of the influence of that insight team within the business. So I think continually like think about that. So within my teams, we nearly always, before the start of the year, we would have our planning sessions to We'd have our insight strategy that we were kind of working towards. And then at the beginning of every year, just like you would with a marketing plan or a business strategy, we'd review it and we'd say, well, where are we on this? Where are we in terms of building the capability? Where are we in terms of the relationships that we have with stakeholders, et cetera? And we kind of work through where we were, and then we'd set about our plan for the year. And part of setting that plan was also to say, what are the big business challenges? What are the big questions that we need to answer? And what are the things that we need to do to answer those questions? And that might lead to a conversation internally about resourcing or, budgets for new capability that we wanted to bring in, or, you know, anything like that. But I think that rather than being on the hoof with these things, you know, use planning time, try to plan how you're going to, well, first of all, your strategy, and then each year reviewing that. And then we would have regular kind of like quarterly away days when we talked through how it was going, what were the things that were getting in the way, were the things that we needed to be doing differently to be more successful. So yeah, that would be my advice.
And that is fantastic advice to end on. Deborah, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a wonderful time. And thank you to everybody listening too. We hope you've learned as much as I have from today's episode. Mm-hmm. And Deborah, if anyone is interested in learning more about the IMA, is there anywhere they can go to find out more about that?
Yes, I mean, just search Insight Management Academy. We and have a look at the website. There's contact information on there, info@Insight Management Academy, where you can sort of drop us a note. James Witcherly, who kind of heads up the team, is very happy to chat to people, to just tell them a bit more about what we do. There is information on the website as well, but yeah, very happy to chat to anyone that's interested about getting more support. There's a big network of organizations. We have now almost, I think we've got about 90 members. Can't tell you the exact number. I think it's around that number of organizations across the UK and the US. So it's a great network to be part of as well in terms of resource.
Oh, fantastic. Well, like I said, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you.
And as I said, thank you to everybody listening. We'll be back next month, along with Emily James and Sophie Grieve-Williams, a dynamic duo with over 10 combined years of market research and marketing experience, as well as advertising and communication skills, to talk about the kind of creative skills that research teams should be investing in. Until then, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the MRX Lab.